For ethical questions that don't involve genetics, we usually turn to Randy Cohen. He writes the Ethicist column for the New York Times Magazine, and he joins us every other weekend on All Things Considered to answer your questions. Randy, hello, welcome.
Hi, Linda.
Today's letter comes from Sarah Irwin in Millboro, Virginia. She writes, "Gossip is a mainstay in my rural community, and I abhor it. I've tried to teach my daughters the difference between gossip and legitimate news. Recently, an elderly couple I know were involved in a serious car accident in which the wife was killed and the husband badly injured." She continues, "I was among the first to know as my husband passed the accident on his way home from work. I immediately phoned my boss, who was close to the couple. I knew she would want to be of help to the victim's family, and I wanted to spare her from learning of her friend's death on the grapevine." Irwin writes, "My 18-year-old daughter was furious at me for making this call and accused me triumphantly of gossiping. I tried to explain that this was not gossip but news, because I stated the facts without embellishment and had the best interests of all concerned at heart when I passed it along. She still insisted I should not have made the call. Who's right?" Randy, this is a pretty delicate situation. What's your advice?
Well, I think maybe the gossip news comparison is not the best way to analyze this question. I mean, for one thing, what would you call what they broadcast on Fox? It's just too confusing. For another thing, gossip can be true. You know, when I talk about your affair, Linda, I might be telling the truth, but that would still be, well, hypothetically, certainly not. But I could pass along a hurtful remark that's true, and that would still count as gossip. So maybe a better way to look at this is to consider that in ethics, intentions really count. And was this phone call meant to do harm? Or even if it wasn't intended to do harm, was it likely to do harm? And clearly, no. What Sarah was trying to do here was clearly an attempt to help. So I would say she was more than ethical. She was actually quite generous-spirited. But I'd like, could I go on just a bit further? I'd like to defend gossip. I'm for gossip. It was Alice Roosevelt Longworth who said, "If you can't say anything nice, sit by me." That the ethical obligation in conversation is not to ignore our friends' little follies and foibles. We all have them. But to discuss them prudently or tactfully, and not to repeat a hurtful remark to a friend. But discuss our friends in their fullness. That's a wonderful thing to do. It was Blaise Pascal, the philosopher and mathematician, who said, "If all men knew what others say of them, there would not be four friends in the world."
Hmm. Well, we have Sarah Irwin on the line now, who's obviously tried to give her children some sense of what is good and what is bad about gossip and news. Sarah, what do you think?
Well, I'm a little bit stunned. I've tried so hard to educate my daughters really to only pass along news. I guess that's how I determine. My main criteria, and of course I went against that myself, is that it has to happen to you. In other words, it isn't third hand. And of course, this was third hand from my husband, but he's a reliable source.
Right.
And secondly, that there not be any embellishment. But to a certain extent, you're saying that adding opinion and feelings and even critical comment is all right. So how do you define gossip?
That's a good question. I mean, does it have something to do with malice?
I define gossip affectionately. I think gossip is a fine thing. But what's not fine is hurting other people. So if you're saying something deliberately to hurt another person, your intention very much counts in the sorting out the ethics of the situation. Or if you're repeating something in a careless way that's very likely to do harm, even though you may not wish it, that you ought not do. But what the important thing here is harming other people, not gossip per se.
Interesting.
Do you think your daughter will appreciate this distinction, or do you think she will still decide this is gossip?
No, I think it's a very good distinction, and the more I think about it, I think that's what I have been trying to get at with my girls and have failed to, you know, really define it well so they could understand. I'm even nervous about this letter being on the air in this small community. People are certainly going to talk about it. So.
But that's great. They should. It's an interesting question. It seems to me your thoughts were, you were serious. You were really considering the implications of your actions. You were talking about your daughter. You were talking about other people. That's wonderful. That's human. That's what it is to be part of a community where we're interested in one another and discuss one another. But we should avoid hurting one another.
So how did your boss react to getting this news from you?
Oh, she was devastated. It was a very good friend, but she wasn't unhappy to hear it from me.
So you know, the one thing I think where you can't win, and I can't win, because I also have a teenage daughter. If you have teenage children, the cry of "you hypocrite" is something that's just, it's just honey on the tongue to teenagers. And you know, you've given her the greatest gift of all, a chance to catch her parents out, or think she has. So you'll never convince her that you've done right here.
Amen. Thank you. Perhaps you will.
Oh, I doubt that.
Thanks very much to both of you.
Thank you.
Sarah Irwin of Millburn, Virginia, and Randy Cohen. If you've got a question for ethicist Randy Cohen, email it to watc@npr.org. Put the word ethics in the subject line and be sure to include a telephone number where we can reach you. To hear more of today's discussion or previous segments, go to our website, npr.org.